some of the young people who come through Hamilton County's Juvenile Detention Center are there for reasons that we might not expect. Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom told Cincinnati Edition recently that children are there sometimes because they have no other place to go. I'm Nick Swartzel, filling in for Lucy May. Today on Cincinnati Edition, we'll talk about why that is. Hamilton County Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom returns to the show with Hamilton County Job and Family Services Placement Director Sarah Reese. Judge Bloom, Sarah, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Nick. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. I wanted to ask you, Sarah, first, give us an idea of the scope of the foster care system in Hamilton County. How many young people are involved in that system in some way?
We currently have roughly 2,150 youth that are in Hamilton County custody currently.
I see. And how many of those need placement in a foster care situation in one way or another at any given time?
We usually average about 40 youth that are needing placement at any given time. That includes youth that are in temporary placements that we need to get into a more permanent placement, and youth that are moving from one placement to another, where my team is actively searching for placement, and youth that are coming into care, so youth where we received custody the same day and are seeking placement for those children.
Sure. And are there cases where it might be hard to find a placement for that person for an extended period of time?
Absolutely. We do utilize our temporary options, such as our homeless shelter, our Meekum Center, for those youth. And we also have some crisis stabilization options that we can use as well if we are having difficulty locating that placement.
Sure. And sometimes youth might have reasons that they end up in the Hamilton County Youth Detention Center, right? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We know that a lot of the youth that my agency works with have endured significant trauma. And we know that trauma manifests itself into many types of behaviors, sometimes including delinquency behaviors. So a lot of our youth will cross over systems, and we will see them come into the juvenile detention center.
Sure. Judge Bloom, I want to turn to you for a second. You've mentioned in a couple interviews that children in the youth detention center sometimes are there for reasons that you wouldn't expect. Maybe they don't have another place to go. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. So like Sarah said, kids who come into the agency or the state's custody they have to be placed somewhere. And they have to be placed by Sarah and her team, who are the professionals and who make those decisions. And right now in our county, and I would say probably in our state, although I'm only local, we have a shortage of decent, good, acceptable placements. And when that happens, we have to figure out, okay, so where does a child go? And sometimes that means the detention center that's been used in the past as a holding place. It's used in current times as a holding place, even for out-of-county kids who are placed in Hamilton County by maybe another agency from another county. If they get kicked out of their placement and they don't have any other place to go, then they are sent to the detention center. I would say, too, Nick, that there are lots of charges that a kid is not eligible to be held on in 2020. So like a misdemeanor, a low-level misdemeanor, those sorts of things. But if you're a kid who's housing unstable or you're involved in the agency for any reason, not of your own doing, that misdemeanor could keep you from getting placed someplace and you would have to stay with us. So at 2020. So that would mean you're staying because you don't have anywhere else to go.
Sure. Talk to me a little bit about what that looks like day to day for those young people. Like, where are they sleeping, for example?
They stay as if they are charged with any other charge for kids that are in there. So we don't keep low-level crimes. We don't keep misdemeanors because that's what the law tells us we shouldn't do. We don't keep low-risk kids. But if you're a kid who has, for any reason, come into the custody of the agency or of the state and you get a charge that otherwise you wouldn't stay at 2024 and you don't have a place to go, you stay as if you were admitted to 2020 yourself. So we don't have a separate pod. We don't have a separate system. We don't have a separate way of holding or processing those kids because we only have one way of doing things. So you go to school as if you're a resident in our place. You are held to the same rules. And most of the time, unless there is a significant mental health or otherwise issue, you are incorporated in what we would call a general pod. I'll tell you that we have had some kids that I don't know because I don't work for the agency and I haven't been involved in those conversations, but I can imagine were really, really difficult placements, either kids with significant mental health diagnosis or maybe their families as a whole had a significant mental health situation who have stayed with us. And then what we end up doing is we put them on a pod by themselves with one juvenile corrections person who then basically watch them because our job is to keep them safe while they're with us.
I see. What are the drawbacks to having a young person in that situation, kind of in, for lack of a better term, the kind of general population of the detention center with young folks who maybe were charged with more serious, you know, issues?
It's the same reason that we aren't supposed to or allowed to hold kids who do have a home to go to. It's because when you are exposed to other behaviors, other kids, or other dynamics, you absorb those. The other reason is we know that anytime a kid is put in detention or a restricted setting, that the longer they are there, the more vulnerable to coming back to the system they become. And so as Sarah mentioned, some of the kids who come through the dependency or through the agency's care and custody end up in a delinquency or a criminal setting by crossing over systems. A lot of that is because they are made more vulnerable by their situation to those people who are around them. And so when kids are held in the detention center, it's the same situation.
Yeah. Sarah, I see you nodding. Did you want to add anything to this?
No, just that I absolutely agree. We know that detention is not a place where we want our young kids. There are some very serious offenders that are within that system, and we want to make sure our kids are safe, even in those scenarios. So I absolutely agree. It is not a placement, and those kiddos need to get into treatment, into other placement options quickly.
This is Cincinnati Edition. We're talking about youth in detention centers who are there for reasons that, you know, we might not expect. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Sarah, I wanted to zoom out a little bit and try to get a better idea of why this sort of shortage of placements is happening, right? Like, can we talk about, is this just the lack of, you know, foster parents or other places for young people who, you know, are in that situation to go? What is driving this?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think that we need more prevention to help families so they're not coming into the system. We know with my agency, the cases that we are seeing are a lot more complex, a lot more difficult. And the youth that are entering care have a lot more acuity. They have developmental needs. They have significant mental health needs. And providers are struggling with their ability to provide sustainable treatment and keep their milieu safe, which are the other kiddos they have in treatment, and keeping their staff safe. We also know that we have a shortage of providers across the state, across the nation. We are several thousand foster homes short in the state of Ohio. We've had several residential programs close over the past couple years. So there's a shortage of beds available for youth, and then specifically finding the appropriate bed that's going to provide them the treatment and support they need.
Sure. I wonder if you can talk to me about what's the current need for foster parents in Hamilton County, for those folks that take that on?
Specifically in Hamilton County, with having the 2,100 youth in care, about 80% of our kids are in homes, which is amazing. They're in foster care, they're in kinship care. But we're looking at that other 20%. We know youth need treatment, but they need family. They need community, and they need to be in community settings because we know that's where they thrive best, and we can prepare them for permanency best. So in looking at those numbers, I would love to have 300 more homes, specifically in Hamilton County. I think that would give the ability to have folks really work with these kids on an individual basis and provide them the opportunity to heal and be able to go home.
Sure. A little more specifically, what are some of the other places young people without like these really, you know, ideal placements are going and how is it determined where they go?
We complete a state form, which is called an ICA, which is a very lengthy document that provides a lot of information about the child. And we use that document along with a level of care tool to determine what level of care they need. In Hamilton County, we use kinship. We want to use kinship the most. And then we use foster. We also use group homes locally, which is congregate care, several kids in a house. And then we also utilize residential facilities. We have two different levels, which, well, three. We have a QRTP level. There's a PRTF, which is the highest. And there's an ICF, which are for DDS-involved youth who can really assist those youth with developmental delays and physical disabilities.
It sounds like there's a lot of assessment and care taken in deciding where folks end up going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. And later in the program, Hamilton County's new Conviction Integrity Unit. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Nick Swartzell. We're working on a show in the lead up to the midterms, and Cincinnati Edition is looking for your help. What are the top issues for you in this election? Call us at 513-419-7100. Leave your name and comment. We may use your message in a future show. We're back now with our conversation on foster children. My guests are Hamilton County Job and Family Services Placement Department Director Sarah Reese and Hamilton County Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom. We got a call from Kate. Kate, what are you wondering about this this issue? Kate, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. What was your question or comment?
Yes. My comment is that we should have enough resources so that we can take care of young people without having to put them in detention centers. And if we don't have those resources, we should look at why we don't. And that's my comment.
Thanks, Kate. We're going to get to questions about resources here in just a little bit. I wanted to kind of touch on, before we get to the resources part, well, this is kind of a resource thing, I think. Judge Bloom, there was a recent announcement that the state of Ohio will help fund the reopening of Hillcrest Academy in Wyoming. That's a sort of alternative to detention for young people, if I'm correct. It closed in 2023. Are centers like that a partial solution to these issues we're talking about? And how much of a difference will reopening Hillcrest make?
So that's a great question, and I'm glad to be able to talk about that a little bit. So the reopening of Hillcrest is a partial reopening, as you mentioned, and we're just saying partial because it's not the entire campus, not to say we're only doing some services there. It's also opening in a really different way. So Hillcrest has traditionally been a delinquency placement, which means kids who are adjudicated of felonies or high-level misdemeanors are placed there to live as a treatment school, essentially. What is going to reopen there is instead called a wellness campus, which is something that Governor DeWine has termed, and we applied. The court applied, the county applied, JFS, we all applied together for the funding. And what it is not delinquency focused, so not kids that would otherwise be in 2020. They are kids who are likely in the custody of the agency or otherwise need respite placement or long-term placement for some mental health issues or even physical health issues if we can accommodate. And so, yes, absolutely, reopening Hillcrest in the way that we are intending and that we have been approved and got the funding for will help with the situation that we're talking about now, especially as mentioned by the caller about resources. Resources can be lots of things. And the main resource that we talk about, our currency, is the placement beds. And how many of those do we have? How many of them are lovely and good? And how full can we keep them?
Sure. Can you talk a little bit about the timeline for Hillcrest?
Mm-hmm. So Hillcrest is First, Hillcrest, the property itself, is right now undergoing rehabilitation itself. It had been left in a not so desirable state in the past by some folks who aren't running that property anymore. And so the county is improving and upgrading all the cottages and the school to make sure that it's safe for everyone who lives there and works there. That is going to finish up, I believe, later this year. And then as long as the all the funding comes in as it's meant to do, and everyone can get their program staffed, then we hope to open, you know, in no more than a year. I would hope much less than a year, possibly the beginning of 27.
Yeah. Are there other models, alternatives to detention, other sort of approaches that you see promising in other places that you wish were here?
Sure. So lots of counties and states have become innovative in their placement approaches and in general in their system approaches. And we've had to, because we have to make our resources go as far as possible. And a lot of places have, especially in Ohio, have come into more of a heavy mentorship type of program where kids don't live with their mentors, but it's meant to be, as Sarah mentioned, some early intervention or even a way to keep them out of the system to begin with. I firmly believe that the upfront investment to deter and defer kids and families from coming into the system ever is the cheapest way, if we want to talk about dollars, but also the most effective and the most humane way to run our systems. We aren't quite there yet. That will definitely take, like I say, a big investment of people power as well as dollars to make our systems run as efficiently as possible. But there are other counties in our state that are doing that, and their systems, their populations of their kids and families are shrinking, which is the ultimate goal, is self-sustainability.
Sure. Sarah, I wanted to ask you the same question specific to young people who find themselves in the foster care situation system. Are there approaches that you would like to see explored here in Hamilton County?
More prevention. I can't harp on prevention enough. I think the more services that we can provide to families, like Judge Bloom said, to deter them from our systems is the best way to help families and absolutely the best way to help children. I will sing the praises of the Justice Assessment Center that they have at detention because they do a lot of work. We work with them as well in helping institute some of those programs and prevention services for families to deter them from coming into our agency custody. So more supports for parents to help them in home manage behavior safely, make sure that other kids in the home are safe. Those types of programs. We have Ohio Rise. We have HOPE, which is through our Central Connection, which is a great program that can help families outside of our intervention. But more services, more programs, open capacity without wait times would be awesome.
Sure. I want to pivot a little bit, and before we get to the question of resources, which I think is really important, just ask this question. A bipartisan congressional investigation earlier this year found that in a number of states like West Virginia, Illinois, Louisiana, and Georgia, youth who were in the foster care system who had not been charged with crimes were ending up in detention. And my understanding is that's not happening in Hamilton County. Sarah, is that what you're telling me?
That is accurate. Okay. We do have youth that move through the system. We do have youth that are in detention longer than they should be. But there is always some sort of charge that is affiliated. We are unable to keep them there if we wanted, because it goes against their due process. It goes against their rights. We don't want to do that to youth. So we really try to deter them. If we have youth that are in detention, there are sometimes they'll have to stay until adjudication so they can be present for adjudication. But those youth with lower level crimes like misdemeanors, we're trying to get them out as quick as we can. There are some delays surrounding that. But usually those are the kiddos that move out quickly.
I see. And Judge Bloom, you're what you've been saying is the issue is these young people shouldn't be in detention, right? Like these are folks who need a different place to be.
That's right. Anyone who ends up in detention because they don't have somewhere to live, whether it's because their family is homeless or they are in the custody of the agency, is, you know, really staying there by way of status and not by way of necessity or public safety. And in fact, it becomes a reverse public safety issue where we, as we mentioned, it's the entire reason that kids are not supposed to be detained unless it's the last resort.
Sure. So. Yeah. And briefly, this is a huge topic that we could spend a whole segment on at least, but what does that do to a young person when they're in one of these environments that you know, probably shouldn't be in?
Sure. So there's a wealth of research and data and statistics, which has been done over the years, because what we wanted to figure out, I say we as like people, but what we wanted to figure out was, why are some kids turning out so criminally minded? Why are some not? And what we found was the common background that kids who end up in prison or end up committing crimes or end up with, you know, horrific futures is that they have had the same or similar trauma events, including being disassociated with their families or folks that they consider to be their families, physical and emotional abuse, as well as being held in a detention center, which we use the word detention center. It's in essence a jail. And that's because the way the detention centers and jails are built are not to necessarily encourage growth mindsets for kids or even growth for their bodies. It's just the way we run ours here is that way, but that's not the way they're built. Sure. And so on the whole, and especially the states that you mentioned, it's a pretty it can be a really dangerous situation physically, but also, you know, the door locking behind you at night, every night, and sleeping on sort of the cement bed is not the way that you get a healthy brain to develop.
Sure. I want to go back to the question the caller posed, which is about resources. Sarah, there's a children's services levy on the ballot in Hamilton County in November. Talk about the need for that levy generally and how much it would raise, and then how will it impact this issue of young people without a place to go?
Absolutely. With the number of youth that Hamilton County has in care, we are federally mandated to safely house youth. That's not something we can barter. So we absolutely have to find places for these kiddos to be, and that costs money. So the more acuity a youth is, meaning more complex needs, is a higher cost of care. So those costs are coming out of the levy. So we absolutely need support to be able to safely house youth in good placements that are able to treat their needs and are going to work reunification to get kids home and safe. We know that that's primarily where the funds are going. We're also putting in services for families, trying to deter families and work with them. We want youth to be in community, so we implement some supportive services to those local placements to keep youth here as opposed to going out of state to a facility out of state. And that also costs money. So being able to financially afford our mandates of keeping these kids in the community and keeping them safe so we can incorporate the best services again because we want to bring them home.
Yeah. I've been talking with Hamilton County Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom and Hamilton County Job and Family Services Placement Department Director Sarah Reese. Judge Bloom, Director Reese, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Up next, Prosecutor Connie Pillich launches a new conviction integrity unit. This is Cincinnati Edition.